Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. It goes without belaboring that the seriousness of selecting men to serve as elders is greater than most realize. The future of the congregation is very much at stake, and the salvation of souls hangs in the balance. When selecting elders, there must be a thorough knowledge of what the Lord has required in His Word regarding the eldership, and the qualities a man must possess, already possess, before he is made an elder of the congregation. But we do not intend to press, at this particular time, the seriousness of the matter, nor the many reasons why the selection must be made now and again, but we want to focus attention on something too often overlooked in the process of selecting men to be elders. The right selection will prove to be a blessing to the congregation. It is vital that only qualified men even be considered. Good leadership makes for a good church, and the opposite is also true. A wrong selection can be a hindrance to the cause of Christ in a given area for a generation or more. It can disrupt an otherwise growing church. It can cause division and strife, decay and retardation of the efforts made to save souls. The history of the church in ancient times as well as our own day gives us ample evidence that this is so. Elder selection is a crucial moment in the history of any congregation. Now, inasmuch as every member is called upon to assist in this selection, every member ought to know what to look for and how to recognize a brother who would be qualified. We should never approach the attempt of selection without fervent and earnest prayer. We need God's guidance through His providence, and we need to be acquainted with the biblical qualifications and what they mean. It has been my experience, and that of many others, I might add, that there has never been an elder to fail in his responsibility when that man was in possession of the qualifications that the Scriptures demand. It becomes evident too many times, and sometimes too late, that certain qualifications are lacking. But I want us to consider a matter that is not specifically listed in 1 Timothy chapter 3 or Titus chapter 1, where we read of most of the qualifications, but it has to do with something so closely connected with his work that none would dare deny this qualification ought to be given great consideration. What is the man's attitude toward authority? One with the wrong attitude here will cause trouble every time, sooner or later. And we need to exercise caution, because it is a lot easier to put a man into the eldership than it is to get him out, especially when he has the wrong attitude toward authority. Temptations beset elders just like other brethren. Many men give over to that base instinct of domination. Diotrephes was such a man, 3 John 9. He wanted to have the preeminence among those around him. Power can be used for good, but power also has the ability to corrupt. The love of exercising power is so universal that it takes an exceptional man to be proof against the misuse and abuse of the power and the responsibility he undertakes as an elder in the church. Now, there is no caste system in Christ. There's no clergy, there's no laity, that's all of man's origin, there's no ecclesiastical hierarchy, man has invented all of that. And there ought not be any so-called bosses in the Lord's church. An elder is properly regarded as first among equals. He's not a lord, he's not a master, 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. And he should not have the super spiritual attitude over others. When he gets the idea that other members of the church are his underlings, and to be bossed about as if they were his employees, then he has become diseased with egotism. Now, the eldership has authority. Of course, all authority belongs to Christ, Matthew 28:18, inasmuch as he is the head of the church, Colossians 1:18. The apostles have authority as the Holy Spirit directed them. They were the Lord's ambassadors, with the power to speak in His name and on His behalf, and that was backed up with credentials. Their authority, however, was delegated and limited to what they were guided to do and guided to speak. But they received all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. Elders have authority also as they function as an eldership. They are to rule, Hebrews 13:17, Hebrews 5 and verse 17. And nobody can rule without authority. The authority of the eldership is not our subject, but we only mention that in passing because there be some misguided people who sometimes contend that the eldership has no authority. But the authority is limited. It is prescribed. They are not given to arbitrary rule. We all need to know this. Elders need to remember that. Every man considered for the eldership must have distinguished himself in the recognition of just what his job will be and what is the nature of his work and his authority and the limitations of it. Too many act like they've been crowned the king. While a congregation is to submit to the rule of the eldership, nobody is required to submit to anyone who has overstepped his power. No church, nor any individual in it, is obligated before God to bow down to the personal whims of a self-willed, dictatorial, know-it-all tyrant. The man who is to be an elder must be Christ-governed, which requires that he be humble, knowing his limitation of rule. He is to be a team man with the other elders, and a leader and an example before the members. He is not someone giving a position to boss other brethren. And believe me, there are those who obviously never knew that. The eldership is a work, not just an office for exercising personal power. Too many elders act like they've been appointed to a lifetime job of sitting on a board of directors to hand out orders. Now, people with such an attitude toward authority ought never be given authority in the church. But the elder is to fulfill his duty, but never to go beyond his authority. An elder is to be an example to the flock, and he should say to others, like Gideon said to his men, "Look on me and do likewise." He should be one on whom brethren could depend, could speak to in confidence without fear that the elder will stand as some kind of judge and master. And what is said will be soon noised abroad for all the gossipers in the church and elsewhere to pass along. It is obvious that too many little men have been made elders, and they feel that they must some way throw their weight around and let everybody know that they are the leaders. It is clear that some elders are so unsure of themselves and so uncertain about their work that they are jealous of their authority and had rather try to show who is boss rather than to do their work. There are two ways to be a leader in a congregation, either to guide or to drive. A slave driver may govern his slaves with a whip, but not so with godly elders. An elder is the custodian of the faith and is not to attempt to direct and govern the entire mental, financial, and social affairs of the lives of others. He is not a confessor priest. Paul tells us that the selfish man is not to be chosen for the duty as an elder or bishop or overseer, synonymous terms, or at least referring to a synonymous work. He is not to be self-willed. That's one of the negative qualifications of an elder. Self-will means the man who delights in himself, has a self-loving spirit. He's centered on himself. Personal vanity, egotism, pride, bigotry, intolerance, they are elements that are found in the man who thinks of himself more highly than he ought to think. He places his opinions on an elevated level above everything and anything else, and anybody else and everybody else. It has to be his way or not at all. And he will not ever admit to possibly being at fault. He has a single dimension, and that is whatever he wants. Such attitudes arouse disgust from other people and will bring a congregation to hardship when such a man is in the eldership. He just has no respect for authority because he abuses it. He misuses it. He never learns to properly use it. When selecting elders, seek out men who have shown themselves cooperative. Select men who have shown ability to listen to the other person. The knowledge of another does not come quickly. It has been the case that men have been placed in the work of an elder without the congregation really having had ample opportunity to know how a man feels and thinks and acts toward others and toward authority. Is he considerate of others? Some will play politics and almost campaign to be made an elder with sweetness and a most loving and humble countenance until their end. But then the brethren beware. His dictatorial ways soon surface, and what agony and offense to brethren and the cause of Christ he becomes. And we have seen that happen. Know the man well before entrusting to him the welfare of the congregation. Now, friend, history will bear me out. Older brethren who have had the unfortunate experience of dealing with such men will echo this warning. So much of the trouble that arises in the church is because of self-willed, dominant, dictatorial, boss-like, jealous, little men who have been unfortunately placed in the eldership. You let someone like that get an off-balanced view on something, and it is chaos. You let him be of a compromising nature with worldliness, and nothing but trouble will occur for anybody in that congregation who loves the truth. You let him get what we might call a bug in his bonnet to rule or ruin a preacher or someone else. He will do anything to accomplish just that. He just never did develop the right attitude toward his authority. And once he gets the authority, the devil makes the most of it through him. Now, there are those, of course, and it's been my experience that most of those with whom I have ever labored have been men who loved the Lord and respected others and were considerate of others. They knew they had authority, and they knew that where went that authority went responsibility, and they worked hard to discharge it in a godly manner. But, friend, we must keep these thoughts in mind whenever the matter of selecting elders arises in the congregation, certainly where you attend. Let the truth be known. Prevent problems by preventing self-willed tyrants from ever becoming elders in the church. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd.